Scary Christmas, everyone. You are listening to the Patreon-exclusive bonus tie-in episode of the Uncut Gems podcast for December 2023, and my name is Jakub.
And my name is Randy.
Today also, we're not alone. We are joined by our very special friend, Mr. Jack-Luc Sharp is in the house. How are you doing, Jack?
I'm brilliant. It feels weird to talk about a Christmas movie in October, but I always do this.
We're almost there.
But I always do this. But obviously, Bob Fosse was a blind spot. Bob Clark is another one. I always thought I'd seen this. I thought I watched this last year, but I actually watched Prom Night instead. So this is being meaning to get off my watch list. Yeah. So I didn't mind Prom Night, if I remember. Yeah, I didn't mind Prom Night, if I remember rightly. But I'm excited to talk about this. This is an interesting watch. Probably allegedly the first of its kind as well. So yeah, excited to talk about with you two, the gang, as I put it.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to dig into. First and foremost, might as well just like you let the cat out of the bag. Like, not only people know that we're talking about Black Christmas because they can't read the title, right? And we're talking about Black Christmas, and you also just let it slip that we're recording. And it's like slightly ahead of schedule because you know.
There's no magic.
We're trying to earn ourselves a little bit of a break, so you know we're recording just a little bit of ahead of schedule. Okay, is what we're doing. So anyway, without any further ado, we are talking about Black Christmas. And this is the last bonus tie-in of the year. So like some extra news are maybe coming to you soon on the regular show and elsewhere. So I'm going to, for now, I'm going to keep it shut. Keep my pie hole shut. That's what I'm going to do. But then again, not entirely. I'm going to say thank you to everyone who subscribed to our Patreon. You know, your hard-earned cash is going a long way to, pay for the Zencaster bills and everything else. And then, you know, whatever. So thank you very much for your kind support. And if you're listening to our little teaser that's available, I don't know, wherever, then just bear in mind, in a few minutes, our voices are going to trail away into the distance and you'll have to continue on our Patreon, which is patreon.com/uncutgemspod, where $3 a month gives you access to plenty, plenty more podcasts from us where we talk about great movies. Some not so great, but mostly great movies. And then if you really just want to get your bang for your buck and whatever, just imagine that, you know, $3 a month, essentially just, it's a buck a show, donation to the show. Because we record three things a month, put it on our Patreon, so, you know, is what it is. With the inflation looming and everything, it's like a buck isn't worth much. So, you know, if you think about it, just, you know, you can always support a little indie project, is what I'm saying, you know?
And you get the back catalog for free.
And you get the, yeah, exactly. Like you, just $3 for 1 month gets you access to like 70 plus podcasts. So you can just like indulge. And there's free stuff in there too. So, you know, like if you don't feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm just a little bit of two minds. So like The Exorcist that we recorded recently is up there for free. Cabaret is for free. Heatless this year is free. And a few others. The Thing. Mm-hmm. And what else I'm missing?
It's the 30 years of Tarantino influence in the cinema retrospective.
That was one of the early ones we did. I think it was like a 30th anniversary of Reservoir Dogs. We did, what, like three films that somehow inspired by Tarantino's indie revolution. So yeah, you can go and do that. And if you don't feel like doing so, you can always leave us a one-off donation if you still want to spend money for nothing, I suppose. Or you can just leave us a star rating or review. So long as it's not a one-star rating, just saying. Okay. So, you know, formalities are mostly done. I might as well just quickly remind you that, you know, like, recently we have, well, we're nearing completion on our John Cassavetes marathon. So recently we have added the 11th edition to the marathon, which was Love Streams. That's in addition to Cabaret and High Flying Bird, which was the sort of the pairing for the Soderbergh project we did earlier in the month of November. And I may as well mention this month's Soderbergh. Jesus Christ, what's this month? What's December Soderbergh? I think it's No Sudden Move.
It's No Sudden Move.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yep.
So yeah. So, and also this month, the Soderbergh pairing that's just about, I suppose, at this point in the future, it would have just about dropped. So that would be no sudden move. And then later in the month, we will be finishing our John Cassavetes marathon. So, you know, stay tuned for that. That's about it. And then, we'll, as you say, we'll unveil our plans for 2024 a little bit further into the future. So I'm going to keep my mouth shut as I promised. So let's just dig into the proceedings of the day. And let's talk about Black Christmas, because the theme for the month is Christmas themes, themed horror films. And then you can't have a conversation about Christmas themed horror films without talking about Black Christmas. So let's just talk about Black Christmas. I'm saying Black Christmas a lot. Black Christmas.
Hello? Hello? Look, who is this?
Please stop. Oh, God. Help.
What do you want? Why are you doing this?
Get me, Billy! I know you're doing this, Billy!
Who are you? For God's sake, what are you doing?
I know what you did, Billy! Billy, Billy! 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 Billy!
Stop this!
So Black Christmas was directed by Bob Clark and written by a guy called Roy Moore, and it stars Olivia Hussey, Keir Dooley, I think Dooley or Dully Dooley, Margot Kidder, and John Saxon, and a few other people as well. And it is a horror film whose story revolves around the sorority house during the Christmas season. And as the sorority sisters prepare for their holiday break, they start receiving, let's just say, disturbing and threatening phone calls. And one of the sisters goes missing, the other begin to fear for their lives, and a series of gruesome murders follow. And the film sort of builds tension as the sort of the killer's identity remains a mystery. That's kind of, it's the movie, right? So yeah, the idea for this movie, I think, originates with Roy Moore, and it was supposed, I think it was it's inspired by, I want to call it, on what I would call an urban legend about the babysitter and the man upstairs. I think that was the sort of urban legend of like the 60s, about like the story about this babysitter who was minding children so all by herself in the house, and she was receiving these disturbing phone calls and then called the cops, who was just telling her to mind the children, right? And she called the cops. The cops traced the call and then told her to promptly leave the house, and they told her that the calls were coming from inside the house. And it turns out that apparently, according to the legend, whoever was making these calls was making them right after he killed all the kids. That was the urban legend. So they figured out they would make it into a movie. I think the movie was initially called Stop Me.
Sounds familiar. Sounds
familiar, right?
Yeah.
And then I think it was also retitled. It was originally also titled Silent Night, Evil Night in the States as well. But then it was retitled for A Stranger in the House later on. I mean, there's a longer story with that. But anyway, so the movie kind of originated with this urban legend. Oh, and by the way, I didn't mention this, and this is possibly important from your point, Randy, from your point of view, because it's a Canadian production.
It is.
It's an all-Canadian effort. Bob Clark is kind of one of the big voices of Canadian cinema, I suppose.
To a point. Yeah. A Christmas story. Yeah.
More than one. So the movie kind of was coming together sort of in Canada, and well, people like Olivia Hussey were cast in there. And if you don't know who Olivia Hussey was, that was a person who played, I think, Juliet in Romeo and Juliet, you know, like the Zeffirelli one, I think. And then Keir Dooley was also cast in there, and that was a guy who was in like Kubrick's 2001 at the time. And then later on, he was in the sequel. So they had, yeah, they had quite a few good people kind of lined up. Margot Kidder just about, I think, did Sisters before it and a few other things. And I was on her way to become Lois Lane in Dickie Donner's Superman. And, you know, like they almost got Betty Davis to play one of the roles, but she declined. No, I think she was supposed to play the woman who keeps liquor in the toilet or something. So, yeah. You know, the screenplay was originally kind of written in a bit of a different way. So they decided, oh, let's just move this into like a student environment. So they found a house, they made it a sorority house, and they made it into like a Christmas situation. Obviously, there was no snow, so they used a lot of fake snow. And it also, I think it became one of the most expensive films in Canadian history. Like it cost nearly $1 million. I think it's like just shy of 700,000. It's not a lot of money for 1970s, I think. And then I think, well, it was released in 1974 in, well, I think, did it play TIFF? I don't think it played TIFF.
Oh, I don't think TIFF got started really until it was called the Festival of Festivals. I want to say got started in the early 80s. Something like that, or late 70s. So TIFF wasn't really a talking point at this point.
Oh, right, okay. Because I'm looking at the release dates, and in Canada it was released in October, and then in the States, they, you know, they thought really clearly because they released it on Christmas.
Yeah.
So, weirdly enough, like, the movie did not really make a lot of money in terms of box office revenue. I mean, in Canada, it did play very well, but in America it was a bomb. I think it opened in Canada quite strongly, so American distributors were like, well, this will do, you know, like we can actually make something with it. So they rolled it out into quite a few theaters, and no one came to watch it. Like they were averaging like $700 per screen or something to that effect, which is not a lot of dollars per screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they pulled it. And then for a very long while, this movie kind of stood as a box office bomb until it was reevaluated later on and just grew a cult following around it. And then one of the reasons why it took a while was also because it was critically panned. Like, well, that's one thing. It was critically panned. So critics of its time, let me just quickly just hold your horses. I'm going to find it.
And two, consistent with recent months, we've been talking about critics of the 70s. Not quite knowing what they're talking about.
Oh, yeah. So, A.H. Weller of the New York Times called it a whodunit that raises the question as to why it was made. Oh, Variety God. Called the film a bloody senseless kill-for-kicks feature that exploits unnecessary violence in a university sorority house operated by an implausibly alcoholic ex-hoofer. Its slow-paced, murky tale involves an obscene telephone caller who apparently delights in killing the girls off one by one, even the hapless house mother. Gene Siskel gave the movie 1.5 stars and called it a routine shocker that's notable only for indicating the kind of junk roles the talented actresses are forced to play in the movies. Like, look, let's just say they didn't like it. And we do, like, I have a bone to pick with critics of the 70s. Like, Pauline Kael especially. Like, I'm not even going to look what she gave it. Because I'm pretty sure she hated the living shit out of it.
That'd be really interesting, actually. Because it's quite...
Moulton gave it 2 out of 4. It's just called it bizarre. It's just, you know. So it... And then it also didn't help because it was then at some point in the future, I think in 1970.
If you'd like to listen to this show in its entirety, head over to our Patreon over at patreon.com/uncutgemspod, where for $3 a month you'll be able to hear many other bonus recordings of ours, such as tie-ins to our main show, mini retrospectives, and comprehensive director marathons. patreon.com/uncutgemspod is the place, so head over there and subscribe.